Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everybody. It is Saturday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, back for our Steelers weekly mock draft tracker video with Ray Fittipaldo, our Steelers insider, who was at the Senior Bowl last week. We're going to talk through all of the mock draft picks for the Steelers this week. Ray, how are you?
Good, Adam. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing well. I think we should say at the top that you released your first 7-round mock draft this week on postgazette.com. If you haven't seen that already, make sure you check that out on the website. We've also done a couple videos about it. So if you're interested in reading about Ray's, 7 or 8 picks, because I think they have an extra pick in the 4th round, make sure they got 7 picks. So check that out on the website. Check out those videos. We're going to talk a little bit about some of Ray's picks here shortly. Ray, I wanted to start with defensive lines. Jajuan Newton was one of the big names that was mocked to the Steelers this week. He's from Illinois. I want to ask you about him. I want to ask about some cornerbacks that you had in your mock draft, that some others had in their mock drafts. Also going to get into the centers. You had Jackson Powers Johnson drafted to the Steelers. I saw that pick in a couple of other places, but also some other centers could be on the board for the Steelers. We're going to get to them, and then we're going to talk a little bit about receivers. Before we get into all of that, just want to thank our sponsor for this episode and every episode of the Steelers Mock Draft Tracker video, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Ray, you and I have talked a little bit about the defensive line on your first appearance on this video a couple of weeks ago. I have not seen a single defensive player mocked to the, or defensive lineman mocked to the Steelers until this week. Jajuan Newton from Illinois, he was the pick. What do you like about him and his ability to, you know, maybe be a Cam Hayward replacement in the future, and his game?
So, Adam, he wouldn't be a replacement for Cam Hayward, at least not in the base 3-4 defense. If you look at Newton, and I don't have his measurables in front of me, but I think he's like 6'1", 305. So when they're looking to replace a guy like Cam Hayward, they're looking for that guy who's 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", in that, you know, 290 to 300-pound range. So Newton is more of your 3 technique, could be a replacement for Larry Ogunjobi. And I think that's an important distinction. You know, when you are not changing defenses, when you're keeping Terrell Austin as your DC, and as long as Mike Tomlin is the head coach here, you still have to run your base 3-4 defense. So the issue with this draft is there are not a ton of Cam Hayward-like players in this draft, guys with that type of a body type. So that's an issue, definitely an issue in the first round. You tend to see some other guys pop up, maybe, you know, second, third round, who fit that bill. But the high-end defensive tackles, guys who are going to go in the first round this year, and there aren't that many, but it seems like those guys are more 3 techniques, more of those disruptors on the interior as opposed to the big 5 technique like a Cam Hayward.
Yeah, I think that is an important distinction, right? To give credit to the mock draft, it was let me pull up his name here. Lorenzo Reyna from the Pro Football Network. He did cite him as a replacement for Cam Hayward, but you're making, I think, the important distinction of what defense do the Steelers actually play. you know, would you like to see him as a Steeler if he's available at number 20? Regardless of all that, do you think he's someone that could be a long-term fixture that they need, maybe in that, maybe more in the Stephon Tuitt mold to kind of give people maybe a better frame of reference there?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they do need a defensive lineman. But if you look at what they did last year with Keanu Benton, I know Benton was labeled as a nose tackle, but, you know, their hopes for him is that he can bump out and play three technique and be more than just a two down player. So, you know, I think Keanu Benton, his body type is also a guy who could, you know, you could see him bump out. And listen, you need a lot of defensive linemen. So it's not like they would be against drafting another Benton type of lineman early in this draft. But in the grand scheme of things, I think more so they probably need a five technique instead of a guy like Newton. Doesn't mean they wouldn't pick him in the first round, but you know, they would have to maybe make some adjustments with their defensive front if they did that. And I just don't think that's going to happen at this late stage.
Do you think the lack of defensive line mock draft picks so far, Ray, has had more to do with the class and the quality of the guys and the fit with the Steelers defense, or just there still a national disconnect of what the Steelers need versus what people think that they already have? You and I talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago, but now that we've kind of seen, you know, you've been down at the Senior Bowl, the East-West Shrine Bowl happened, we've got a little better feel on this class than we had before. What's your read on you know, the way defensive linemen are being valued for the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I think the local guys always have a better feel for a team's needs than the national guys. But, you know, I think as long as you're seeing cornerback, defensive line, or offensive line, if that's the pick of the national guys too, then, you know, they're fairly plugged in to what's going on. So, you know, to localize this and for me to make a point about the defensive linemen, just look at Pitt. The types of defensive linemen that colleges are producing nowadays, they're more in the Aaron Donald, Kalijah Clancy mode, and you just don't see Cam Hayward type of defensive lineman as often as you used to. So I think it trickles down to high school ball, the way defenses are playing. Certainly in college, the types of defenses that are running, the different types of athletes that are being put on the defensive line as opposed to maybe what it was 15, 20 years ago. So that's just an adjustment that all three, four teams have had to make over the years. You know, I'm thinking back to last year's draft. Brian Brisset from Clemson would have been a guy who would have fit that mold for the Steelers. I think he ended up being an early second round pick. Might have been a few more last year compared to this year, like perfect Steelers fits. I just don't see those fits this year for the Steelers, certainly not in the first round, unless you maybe wanted to reach and take a guy like Darius Robinson, who I had going to the Steelers in the second round. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe he can improve his draft stock. You know, maybe he's somebody who could jump into that first round conversation. But my point is, the types of athletes that you used to see for the 3-4 defense just aren't as readily available. And I think teams like the Steelers have to, you know, kind of adjust on the fly and, you know, kind of make it work in later rounds if they can.
Ray, you mentioned Darius Robinson. That was going to be my next question for you. He was in, he was the second round pick in your mock draft. What do you like about him, you know, given this conversation that we're having? And, you know, where do you think possibly because of that dearth of guys that kind of fit those profiles, that's a reason he could slip into the first round, even if he's not, you know, necessarily regarded as a lock first round talent, just because we see that sometimes where, you know, at positions of needs for teams, sometimes teams do draft for needs. Sometimes guys who are not first-round picks become first-round picks for that reason.
Yeah, he certainly has the body type that the Steelers need, but he also has the athletic profile that you know, could get him into the first-round conversation. He just hasn't had the type of production in college, I don't think, that would merit first-round consideration. So if you look at it, he had a career-high 8.5 sacks this season, this past season. Whereas in his first couple of years, you know, it was just a couple sacks here and there. And he played five technique for his first 3 years in the league. And then he actually bumped out to edge rusher, which is where he got most of his sacks now. So I know Steelers fans hate to hear it because they don't want to hear that tweener word, because of what's happened with DeMarvin Leal. So, you know, Leal was kind of like that guy. Steelers don't know what to do with him. Is he an edge guy? Is he a defensive end? It turns out that he hasn't been able to get on the field either way. So I'm not putting Robinson in that category, but when they draft him, you know, I think they would like to see – versatility is important, but I think that, you know, ideally you put him in there as a five technique, say, this is going to be your position. We are going to move you around, but we want you to be the replacement for Cam Hayward, if that happens. I don't know that he's going to be there at number 51 on day two.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting name to watch. Ray, I want to get into the cornerbacks a little bit. Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News had the Steelers taking Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama. He's a guy that started the draft season. A lot of top 10 picks for him early on. He doesn't play in the Senior Bowl or the East-West Shrine Bowl. And so I think some other players have gotten on scouts' radar because they were at those games. And he has slipped into the 20s in a lot of mock drafts. Do you like him as an option for the Steelers, especially considering very similar body type to Joey Porter Jr.? And statistically, yeah, their profiles look very similar, where opposing offenses in college just did not go after him. I think he was only targeted 39 times, only allowed 19 receptions. That's, you know, right in the mold of what we saw from Joey Porter last season. If he's there and his stock doesn't rebound after the NFL Combine and Pro Day, which it very well might, but let's just say for the sake of argument, he is available in the 20s. Is he someone that's higher on your radar for this?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I would not blink an eye if they decided to take a corner with pick number 20. I think it's an obvious need right now, along with offensive tackle and defensive tackle. So, you ask me, I think those are the three biggest needs. What it's going to come down to, and I think we saw this trend last year with the Steelers, and it's unfortunate because that he got injured, because I think Corey Trice was maybe on the come a little bit. You know, he had a really good OTA and minicamp, and then I think the first padded practice up in Latrobe, Trice was injured. And he was a seventh-round pick, but he was a guy who had an injury history, and they took a flyer on him late, hoping that his health would hold up. So his health didn't hold up. I don't know that you can count on Corey Trice going forward. I think it'd be a nice story if he bounces back. You know, maybe he rebounds and he's part of the mix. But if they're going to go in that same direction and they truly do want that length on the outside, then they are going to have to invest a first-round pick in a guy like McKinstry or somebody in that mold. Those guys usually don't last until day two of the draft, certainly not day three. So can you pick up some slot corners and some versatile guys in the second, third, fourth round? Yeah, you could do that. But if you want that big, long, rangy guy with potential to be a shutdown corner, you're probably going to have to grab him in the first round.
Ray, do you think people overreact to some of these, to like the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl, especially at this time of year before the Combine and before you get into Pro Days? Because, you know, I found it an interesting phenomenon that McKinstry specifically was such a lock to be an early pick and then doesn't play in these games. And then these players get in front of scouts and people want to talk about other players. And it's not just, I should emphasize, it's not just cornerback. I think there's guys at other positions that are able to creep forward. And then the guys that the scouts didn't see fall down because it's an easy, they're the easy people to drop. Can you explain that phenomenon at all?
I think what NFL coaches and GMs like to see is real football, and you get real football in Mobile. At least you do early in the week in practices. You know, by Thursday, you see a lot of guys who set their worth and they do well, and they'll just back off and they'll say, hey, I'm good. I know what I can do. I showed you enough. I'm not going to play in the game. But at least the coaches and the GMs get that exposure to them in real live drills and real 11-11 on drills on Tuesday and Wednesday down there. So that's what they like. But the combine is also a very important part of this process. I think that's where you get deeper into the interview process. I think you'll have more one-on-one interviews out there. And obviously testing is still very important. They're not running 40s or doing vertical leaps or anything like that down in Mobile. It's just a different type of a scouting, you know, expedition, so to speak, for guys who evaluate. So I think that's part of it. But listen, Adam, I think you'll see before the combine, after the combine, after pro days, you're going to see a lot of fluctuation in these athletes just because what's true in January, right? I shouldn't even say true, but what is believed in January might not be true in March or early April or as we get closer to the draft. So that's just part of the whole deal when you're covering the draft for, you know, 3 months after a season.
Ray, can you tell me what you like about Mikey Sainristil from Michigan? You had him in your 7-round mock draft as, I think, a 3rd-round pick. I saw him listed again by Kurt Popejoy from DraftWire as a potential 2nd-round pick. He's another cornerback. Just give me your appraisal of him.
Smaller corner, so likely inside in the NFL, but he does have versatility to go outside. So as opposed to Joey Porter, he's 5'10", where Porter is, you know, 6'1", 6'1 and a half. So, you know, that makes a big difference in the NFL. That doesn't disqualify you from playing outside, but I think it does limit you in some sense. He's also a converted receiver, so he has good ball skills, and he was productive in the turnover game at Michigan. So those are some of the qualities. When you're looking at, you know, day two of corners, you know, especially when you're picking at number 51, you know, there might be 10 cornerbacks off the board, Adam, by the time you pick. So I don't want to say you're deep into the second tier there, but you're not going to get those big rangy guys with, you know, tons of potential to be CB1s, you know. So I think after day one, you're looking more for guys who could maybe be CB2s, slot corners, versatile corners, guys like in the Cam Sutton mold. And I know Cam's not here anymore, but, you know, for 5 years, you know, he was – or 6 years, actually. He was a very productive player who could move around that secondary. So unless you're going to invest a first-round pick in a guy, you know, those guys on day two are also very important.
I want to get into the center conversation here in a second. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt-quality education with up-close and personal learning, a top-ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News & World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres, easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining, and a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown. Ray, you obviously had Jackson Powers Johnson as your first-round pick. I noticed that you were not alone in once, you know, valuing him as a first-round pick. I think only one mock I tracked this week did not have him in the first round. My question for you is he a guy that the Steelers could potentially trade back and still select, maybe add a little bit of draft capital? Because I saw him going in the late 20s. You know, if you're a Mark Hahn and this kind of math holds through, you know, the rest of the draft process, is that a move that you might be eyeing and maybe justifying the center pick that way in terms of, you know, it's not a super high valued position, but if you can get another pick out of taking that guy, maybe it adds up to a lot more than that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Adam. I, you know, did a little bit of research on that, and you're right. You know, most of those guys, centers who are taken, are in that 18 to 32 first round range. You don't see centers going in the top 10 or really in the top 15. You know, the highest, I think, this century, or in the past 20 years, I should say, is number 18. And that was Pouncey, and that was a couple other guys, Garrett Bradbury of the Vikings. So you just don't see it happen. So, you know, if you could do that, yeah, that would be great. But you're also taking a chance that if you move down, let's say you move down 6 spots and you pick up, you know, let's say you pick up a 2nd or a 3rd round pick, then you have to be sure that the teams in between you aren't in the market for a center. So there's some inherent risk with that. But I don't dislike the idea. You know, I think if you're going to go for value and given the needs that you have, I mean, let's face it, we've run them down all afternoon here. How many positions that this team has to address, getting extra draft capital, I think, is a good idea for Omar Khan.
Ray, I also wanted to ask you about Zach Frazier. He's another Senior Bowl guy. Matt Miller of ESPN mocked him to the Steelers, you know, down around that 50 mark. What did you see from him down in Mobile? And do you think he's an option if they decide to go a different direction than Jaxson Powers-Johnson? Or if Jaxson Powers-Johnson, for whatever reason, is not available, is he a guy that you think could fit into the Steelers offense well?
So he's still recovering from his fractured leg that he injured late in the season. So he was at the Pro Bowl, did some interviews, actually did some pre-practice stuff, snapping, but he didn't do a lot, in front of the coaches and the GM. So there's talk. I don't know how realistic it is. There's some talk that he could actually work out in some capacity at the combine. And if he does that, I think there's a chance that his stock would rise. Or even if he's able to do that at West Virginia's Pro Day, there's a chance that, you know, he could be a late riser in that conversation. I don't know that he can get up, into the first round conversation, but he could solidify himself and be an early second round pick, or solidify himself and be a mid second round pick, because I do think he's probably the second or third best center in this draft. There's also Graham Barton from Duke. He actually played left tackle for the past three seasons, played inside as a freshman, but most NFL teams are projecting him to go back inside in the NFL. And again, just like the Marvin Leal, Adam, that's something that Steelers fans kind of freak out about, you know, drafting because you have Kendrick Green images come into your head, drafting somebody who was a guard and then trying to move him to a center. So there's always some projection there, but the more I read about Barton, the more convinced I am that you won't have those issues that you did with Kendrick Green.
Ray, another name I wanted to ask you about was Peyton Wilson. I think Brian Batko, in his first seven-round mock draft that was in a video earlier this week, I think it was Monday's North Shore Drive, he had the Steelers going with him. Kurt Popejoy from DraftWire also has the Steelers using, I think, a third-round pick. NFL DraftBuzz ranks him as the fifth best linebacker in this class, though. Is he a guy, A, that is on your radar, and B, do you think the Steelers might invest a pick there, given that they do have some options with guys that they had this season that had some success, either to bring them back or that they have under contract?
Yeah, I definitely think inside linebacker has to be addressed either in free agency or the draft. Inside linebackers have been devalued in the draft. There might have been one taken in last year's first round. I know a guy like Drew Sanders from Arkansas got a lot of hype. He was in that first round conversation pretty much, all spring. And then I think he ended up going late second or early third round. It's just a position right now. The teams are having a hard time evaluating. They're getting picked on with coverage issues. Teams are going small and they're picking on these bigger linebackers. So it's not just the Steelers who struggle with this, but yeah, Peyton Wilson's a really good athlete, has good experience. I don't know what range, sometimes you see him mid second round range. I know other people feel like third round, but I think sometime on day two, he'd be certainly in consideration for a team like the Steelers.
Yeah, I found that interesting. I always find it interesting when I see names that are, coming up multiple times in the same week, that multiple people are having the same thought and arriving at it in different ways. That's why I found Kurt Popejoy's draft so interesting, because he had Mikey Sanders-Still, he had Jaxson Powers-Johnson, and then Peyton Wilson. So he was thinking along similar lines to some of our local Steelers guys. So I found that, something to keep an eye on. Ray, I want to ask you about the receivers, though. I saw no receivers drafted to the Steelers in any multi-round mocks this week, except for yours. What are your thoughts on that? Is it possibly a reaction to the Arthur Smith hiring and maybe the view that receivers are not going to be as big of a focal point in this offense as they might be in some others around the NFL?
I don't think so. I understand that, Smith doesn't have a lot of highly productive receivers in his past, but I think it's always going to be important for the Steelers. I think that's an important position in today's day and age for any team. So, I mocked Javon Baker to the Steelers in the fourth round, but listen, anytime after the first round, second round, third round, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a receiver. This is a really good draft for receivers, and let's face it, Adam, they don't have much beyond – Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. And Johnson's going into the last year of his contract. Allen Robinson is going to get cut. They're going to save $10 million on the salary cap by releasing him. And Calvin Austin hasn't fit here. He's okay as a punt returner, used sparingly as a receiver in his first 2 years. I know last year he was injured, but his first year this year didn't really find his niche in Matt Canada's offense. So maybe there's a niche there that Smith can pull out of him. But my point is, he's not going to be a top three receiver. He's more of a four or five gadget guy type of a guy. So you need depth. I think they're going to add one in free agency and in the draft, and it's just going to be a matter come April what round in the draft that's going to be.
Ray, any final thoughts on the draft this week, things you've seen around or maybe things that you brought from Mobile that we haven't had a chance to ask you about so far this week?
Well, I'm not as in tune as you are with the other mock drafts, but did anyone else mock a punter to the Steelers? I would think, given Presley Harvin's situation, that's going to be something that happens. I will tell you, a lot of feedback in the comments, emails this week, pleading with the Steelers, do not draft a punter. We already invested a draft pick and it didn't work out. But listen, it's an area of need. It's a problem area for the Steelers. If you have to waste a sixth or a seventh round pick and get a good guy, I say, why not do it?
You don't think that they could find someone in free agency? I think that would be my bigger hang up is in terms of investing a pick in a punter, is that if sometimes you feel like there's plenty of guys that are decent enough on the street, but then again, Presley Harvin has hung on this long, presumably because no one came in, because the Steelers have brought punters in, right? Right. And no one's really kind of seized that job. Can you explain the punter market maybe a little bit better? Because I think a lot of people maybe don't have a perception of what's available versus, what you might have to draft.
I think when you look at Harvin, he had some personal stuff going on his first year. They kind of took that into consideration. They knew he had a bad year, but they wanted to bring him back. And it's a little bit better in his second season, but I thought there was regression again this past year. And when you're a team like the Steelers, you want to play field position, you're built around your defense, you need a good punter. So, listen, last year they brought in Brad Wing when Harvin was injured. I thought Brad Wing punted really well in that one game. And they actually brought him back. They signed him to a futures contract, so I think he's still on the roster. Late in the season here and going into the offseason. So maybe he would be competition if they don't draft a guy. But, theoretically, it sounds good. Yeah, you get a free agent in here. But they did it last year with Mann, and Mann was okay. Nothing great, but they decided to keep Harvin. So, unfortunately for the Steelers, it seems like Harvin is a good punter in the summer. But when the, when the lights come on and it's important and you need a punt to help you out in the third or fourth quarter, he just never comes through. So I think this is the year they probably have to address it and move on from Presley Harvin.
Yeah, and you think that you maybe get one of the best. If you do draft a punter, you're probably getting one of the best punters in the country, or at least in this draft class, as opposed to waiting for free agency. It's an important distinction. I think a lot of people think any punter will work, right? And it's just if this guy stinks, that there's someone else in line. So it's going to be interesting to see how they value that moving forward. Ray, thank you so much for stopping by and talking to me this week. We're going to have a lot more Steelers talk next week after the Super Bowl. Christopher Carter will be on the North Shore Drive on Monday. It's possible Ray will be his guest. So if you enjoyed what Ray had to say today, make sure you check him out. I'll be back next Thursday with Paul Zeiss on the Zeiss is Right video. And of course, 1 week from today, the next Steelers mock draft video, post Super Bowl edition. We will react to all of the latest Steelers mock draft picks and go from there. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.